Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The Bookbinder of Jericho, written by Pip Williams and read by Annabelle Tudor. The paperboys shouted the news all over Jericho. Our walk to work was noisy with it. "Defend Belgian neutrality," Maud repeated. "Support France." She said it all, just as the paperboys did, over and over. When we stopped at Turner's news agency to collect our post, the counter was crowded with people buying newspapers. "Nothing this morning, Miss Jones," Mr. Turner said when he finally saw me. I picked up a copy of the Daily Mail and handed over a halfpenny. Mr. Turner raised his eyebrows. I'd never bought the paper before. "Waste of a halfpenny," Ma used to say. There were always papers lying around at the press. Maud scanned the front page as we walked along Walton Street. "Great Britain declares war on Germany?" It was a headline and a question. She was confused by the celebrating of young men and the worry she saw on the brows of their mothers. But was she asking what war would mean for England or what it might mean for us? "We'll be all right, Maudie," I squeezed her hand. "But some things may change." I hoped they would and felt a little guilty, but not a lot. Maud continued to scan the newsprint. "Practical hats at popular prices," she read aloud. It was her habit, ever since she'd learnt to read. It was a skill hard earned, and although she didn't care to read a book, she loved headlines and cartoons, words already arranged and ready to use. We joined the mass of men and women, boys and girls, flowing through the stone arch of the Clarendon Press. We walked through the quad, past well-tended garden beds, the copper beach and grand pond, into the south wing of the building. The Bible side, we called it, though Bibles were now printed in London. Once inside, all the vestiges of an Oxford college gave way to the sounds and smells and textures of industry. We stored our bags and hats in the cloakroom in the bindery, took clean aprons from their hooks, and made our way through the girls' side. The tables were piled high with text blocks in need of sewing, and the gathering bench was arranged with sections ready to be collated into books. The folding benches were arranged in three long rows, with room for 12 women along each. They faced tall, undressed windows, and morning light spilled over quires of flat-printed sheets and piles of folded sections from the day before. Lou and Aggie were already in their places at one end of the bench, directly under the windows. Maud and I sat between them,